across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yes, it's another exciting Thursday. Thanks to Prez Obama and his thrilling speech today to deflect criticism of him and convince us all he's the big bro we can count on. I'm Lair Adams for the American Adversaries Drive Time live on News Talk 660 WORL, and I am now going to give you a complete rendition of our fearless leader's speech. Okay, folks, here goes. Blah, 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 blah. You can be sure I had nothing to do with anything I'm accused of. And by golly, I'm going to make sure no one else besides me will get away with it. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, all the problems in the world today are George Bush's fault and his war. You see, war is so wrong. I suggest even I shouldn't have the power and authority to start one. That should be by committee. And I don't want the responsibility. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and I want to give all the terrorists we have taken out of the fight, to keep them from killing our people, back to the Yemenis. And we'll save all that money the evil Republicans sequestered from America. And blah, 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 blah. And this all because I ain't going to talk about the AP, IRS, FOX, Benghazi, Justice Department wrongdoing, Labor Department targeting, even Chevy dealerships who contributed heavily to me keeping their doors open and not those of McCain's. No, no, no. And especially Lair Adams' co-host, Christopher Hart!
Oh, Lair, you're just way too harsh on the president today. That poor old fella got heckled today, and now you're picking on him, too? Oh, how could you?
Did you see how he handled the heckler pro?
We're going to talk about that later when Nostradamus joins us. Folks, you've heard of the Tyler Perry movies. You know, Medea has a family reunion. Medea goes to jail. Well, today, Medea went to Fort McNair and heckled the president of the United States at the National Defense University. How Medea got into Fort McNair, that's anybody's guess. We'll talk about that with Nostradamus, and we'll talk about some other stuff, too. A little bit about the speech. Yeah, he could have summed it up in about three sentences. I like drones. We will continue to use drones. Drones are good. War is bad. Thank you very much. Oh, and by the way, I still want to close Gitmo. And that about sums it up. Your version was much more entertaining, though. If you'd like to be a part of the show, all you have to do is give us a call. The number is 407-774-8255. And I see we have Brad on the line right now, and he wants to talk about one of our new favorite ladies around here. Right, Brad? Thanks for calling.
Oh, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I did want to talk about Ms. Lois Lerner. However, before I do...
Lois Lane. I thought it said Lois Lane up here. I'm sorry.
No, Lois Lame. L-A-M-E, Lois Lane.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
I just wanted to, before I get into that, I wanted to just do the thing, the code pink lady who interrupted Obama.
Medea!
Point out just how creepy and weird she is. She's defending child killers. That's the bottom line. Men who kill children that are in Guantanamo Bay, they have her as a friend. So I want the world to be put on notice that this code pink lady is thought of in the same vein as people who kill children. And that really puts an exclamation point on all you need to know about her.
Well, let me just take the opportunity to say, of course, now she wouldn't see it that way. She would see that what she was doing there today, you know, she's a member of Code Pink, and we'll be talking a little bit more about this with Nostradamus. But you know, that's a peace loving organization. They're peaceniks. They're you know, they abhor war. This is all part of their statement. So what she was doing is saying, you know, I just want a peaceful world. Unfortunately, what you're pointing out is the fallacy in that way of thinking. That the fallacy in that way of thinking is to give in to the people who are really the bad guys, the evil ones. And what she's doing is she's trying to depict us as the bad guys for trying to do something about the real bad guys. And that's the predicament that the president may or may not have found himself in this afternoon. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But your other point about Lois, please.
Yes, yes. This will be viewed as a turning point because we now know her level is getting closer and closer to, say, the deputy chief of staff of the White House. She's very high up. It can no longer be about these low-level ground people in Cincinnati somewhere when a woman comes like her comes before Congress and not only testifies, you heard her first remark, so she was testifying, and then after she absolves herself with her testimony, she's got the gall to claim the fifth, as was rightly brought up. So now we are at a turning point, and luckily the senator from Oklahoma is going to now line up whistleblowers, and guess what, guys? This house of cards, known as the Obama administration, is going to painfully come tumbling down. Thank you very much.
We can only hope, but they're awfully smart people.
Well, they're clever. I wouldn't call them smart, Lair. I think there's a difference. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate you calling. I want to expand on your point about Lois Lerner. But first of all, I think he's talking about Ron Johnson, the senator, I think who we had on back in the campaign season over in Tampa. But Ron Johnson said this morning that the whistleblower hotline has been ringing off the hook since yesterday afternoon when she quote-unquote testified and then claimed the Fifth Amendment, her Fifth Amendment right. And Lair and I were talking about her during the break, and my suggestion is to Congress, I mean, if they call her back up and they try to question her about her statement, they're just going to get the same runaround from her and her lawyer. So I suggest they give her immunity. And under immunity, she will not be able to claim the Fifth Amendment, and she would be required under threat of perjury now to tell what she knows. And I believe that's the only way we're going to get to it, barring whistleblowers who other people who are willing to come out and tell us what's going on.
If but, there are perjury laws included with that, I can see that.
Yeah, but the situation now is, and Fox has been reporting this since last night, is that this was not unlike the mainstream media would have us believe, this is not just confined to the low-level, you know, underlings in the IRS. No, this went very close to the top in the IRS itself, and certainly they knew something was going on at the White House, whether they were behind it or just knew about it.
As far back as 2010.
Right. So, you know, for Barack Obama to say, you know, I walk around with my head up my butt, if he wants to keep saying that, that's fine with me. But that, in essence, is what he's saying, because it turns out he's about the only one in the White House that didn't know what was going on. So since we're on this topic.
Or so he says.
So he says. That's what I'm saying, if we want to accept what he's saying. You know, and, you know, what a great excuse from a great, smart, supposed to be the smartest president ever, that when, you know, something comes along that makes me look bad, my greatest excuse is, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it was Bush's fault.
Yeah, not a very smart guy, is he? Let's go to Warren, who wants to talk about Lois Lerner. Hey, Warren.
Yeah, this will be real quick. NBC is just reporting that she's been placed on administrative leave.
By whom?
I don't know.
Yeah,
obviously somebody higher than her.
Yeah, well, there was, you know, some, I know some of the other live hosts on, you know, during the broadcast today, I believe even including Michael Medved, were sort of raising their eyebrows. How come this woman hasn't been suspended? Or, you know, here she is claiming the Fifth Amendment, which, whether she says she's innocent or not, a lot of guilty people take that route, too. You know, you got to face it. So that begins that whole process of, now this is no longer just a simple scandal. Now it is is a legal criminal matter. And
she's obviously not going to be forthcoming in other matters either.
Exactly. So why should she be allowed to go back and be able to access everybody's information and records and perhaps doctor, you know, her records? So hats off to whoever did that. They're only about 24 hours late, though. Thank you, Warren, for the heads up. I appreciate that so much this afternoon.
It would be interesting to find out who exactly gave that order.
Presumably, it's the new head, this guy, what was his name, Steve Harris, I believe it was, the guy with the curly perm, who didn't testify as well the other day. Anyway, there's the more interesting stuff about this that we'll be talking about as we go into the next half hour with Nostradamus. I also want to talk, we're going to talk a little bit about Medea Benjamin we're talking about. Medea invaded Fort McNair today and supposedly interrupted the president's speech. You'll see what I mean when I say supposedly after the break.
Now that you mentioned it, it does sound a little rehearsed.
Kind of like professional wrestling.
Yes.
Yes. And we'll be talking about the Pope a little bit. And I've got a little tidbit that I bet even Nostradamus doesn't know anything about.
Ooh.
That has to do with the inspector general who just completed this audit about the IRS and somebody that he knew way back when, who is now a key player in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And you did also hear about the judge in the James Rosen thing with Fox News, the reporter for Fox News. Now, the judge is apologizing for issuing that order, but isn't the judge also a major contributor, or was it a handled donors? Bundler. He was a bundler.
Well, the prosecutor was.
Yes, exactly.
The prosecutor was. And he evidently exaggerated. I'm not going to say he misled the judge, but let's just say he exaggerated just a little bit as they sought subpoenas for Jim Rosen's phone numbers, including his parents.
Somebody's going to get in trouble. That's right, folks. We're the American Adversaries. And don't forget, out there in New York, folks, you can still vote for Mr. Wiener. We are the American Adversaries.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. How about 7-night Canada and New England cruises from $3.99 per person? Welcome to Royal Caribbean's Enchantment of the Seas to Port Canaveral. She's doing 3- and 4-night Bahama cruises starting at $1.99 per person. How about a 7-night European cruise from $3.99 per person on Royal Caribbean? Disney's offering up to 30% off the resorts this summer. Florida residents can get special rates for the spring saving. Alaska cruises from 7 nights from $3.79 per person for an inside or $5.99 per person for a balcony. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page. The king of Bada Bing. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Try Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bye.
Okay, folks, welcome back. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we now have, I am Christopher Hart, by the way, and along with Lair Adams, we are live this afternoon. The phone number is 407-774-8255, and we have our executive producer, Nostradamus, on the line with us. Hey, Nostradamus, how's things going over there at headquarters today?
Headquarters is rocking and rolling.
I want to talk to you about the so-called heckler today at Fort McNair, the National Defense University, where the president made a supposedly big foreign policy speech. But first, I want to ask you and Lair, what do Michelle Obama and the Inspector General for the IRS, who just issued this audit, his name is J. Russell George, what do they have in common?
Are they both spending the entire summer in Martha's Vineyard?
See if this gives you an idea. Listen up. Okay, Nick, do you know what that's the music for?
Please don't tell me they used to date.
It's a small world after all. Michelle Obama.
Do you pick door number one? I was like, contestant number one, contestant number two, or the politician number three?
There you go. J. Russell George, the guy who just completed the audit on the IRS, which has blown open the door on them targeting conservative groups. And Michelle Robinson at the time, both in the late 80s, attended Harvard Law School. And they both graduated in 1988, and they both were members of the Black Law Student Association. And the association, of course, would have meetings and get-togethers where they would go out for pizza. And the speculation is that around the other students that there was more to it than that. Now, J. Russell George, who has been asked about this, and I don't know if Michelle has been or not, but J. Russell George says, it wasn't all that. We did go out to eat pizza together when the group went out. And he says, and I quote him now, "Don't get me in trouble." And he said, at least at the time, Michelle was a lovely person and very down to earth.
I wonder, though, does he remember Barack Obama from law school? Because a lot of people who went to Harvard law school in the late 80s do not remember.
Does anybody?
His is the one name that is conspicuously absent from this story. You would presume that he also went to the Black Law Student Association meetings, but there was no mention of that.
Okay.
Same record as they had in Congress, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis, Lair and I were speculating both on and off air earlier that this so-called heckler today, whose name is Medea Benjamin, who is an elderly woman. She's a member of Code Pink. She somehow goes to Fort McNair, which is an Army post where the National Defense University is located, and manages to get not only on the post, but also manages to get into the auditorium where the president is speaking. And this is one of those affairs where I watched most of it. Unfortunately, I watched about 55 minutes of it and finally got sick of it, and it was boring me to death. So I finally turned it off. And lo and behold, in that last 5 minutes was when all this happens, right?
Yeah, I saw that. And they didn't show her that. I mean, it was mostly him and his reaction.
But certainly she stood up and she was berating him about basically the war on terror and these poor fellas down there at Gitmo. And it just so happens that this was the part of the speech where he was talking about how he wants to once again close Gitmo. And
which we all knew was going to be part of the speech.
And go ahead, Dennis. Any other details I'm leaving out here?
Well, sure. She actually had a press pass issued to her with her given name, Susan Benjamin, written in ink. Apparently, she's a frequent presence at national security speeches and hearings. But the White House seemed to be caught unaware of her attendance.
Well, who issued her a press pass?
That's a good question. You would think the Secret Service does that, don't they?
Well, I mean, they have to okay the people that get the press passes, mm-hmm. but the press passes can come from the media organizations. Like when Lair and I got press passes for the
convention,
we had to get Secret Service approval. We had to give them name, address, and all. We had to give them our papers, and they
Code
had to check
Pink
us out.
Not a media organization.
What's that?
Code Pink is not a media organization.
Right. So somebody in the media gave her this pass, and it was approved for her to get in there. But my point is, I don't think the president minded it so much at all. As a matter of fact, the clips that I heard on Medved's show, he basically stood there and let her just have her say, and then basically said, "Yeah, I kind of agree with you," is basically what he said. He said, mm-hmm. "I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do." And,
well, it's a lot easier to say close Gitmo than it is to figure out what to do with all the prisoners that are
give
here.
Them to the Yemenis.
Well, actually, there's 166 down there now at the height.
That's what he said he was going to do with them.
At the height of the war, there was 800, but even Bush was returning them to home countries. There's now down to 166. 86, President Obama, 86 of the 166, I'd leave 80, he wants to send to Yemen. And the other 80, presumably, he wants to send back to their countries of origin. The problem is for him, a lot of these countries don't want them back.
Yes,
so,
guys, this is the catch and release program that we already know from talking with Boone Cutler does not work.
Oh, absolutely. That's why
they go right back to being terrorists.
That's why Sergeant John Hatley is in Leavenworth Prison tonight and will spend the next, 30 years in Leavenworth Prison because he got sick and tired of the catch and release program over there in Iraq. And instead of having these guys be released once again and shoot at his men, they took care of business. Well,
and they'll just go back and I don't know, go to Britain and behead someone.
Yeah. You know, that's something I want to make about that yesterday. And you broke that story on our – well, you didn't break the story, but you reported it on our show. And you talked about how as they perpetrated this crime, they were hacking this guy with meat cleavers and machetes.
After they rolled over him with their car.
Yeah, well, they knocked him down with the car, maybe presumably unconscious, and then proceeded to cut him to pieces.
They literally butchered the man.
For 20 minutes. For 20 minutes, as a crowd gathered and did exactly what the terrorists encouraged them to do, which was tape it on their phones, take pictures and record it. And until finally, 20 minutes after it started, the cops show up and they shoot the guys. Which goes back to our point about, you know, gun rights. What stops a bad guy is a good guy with a gun, right?
Where were the men?
They didn't have any weapons. This
I understand.
Is my
point.
This
carry
is
weapons in Great Britain.
This is exactly right. You are not allowed to have a handgun, much less carry one around. And so all they could do was stand there and watch these guys hack their fellow citizen, a British soldier, to pieces.
Not me.
And film it for posterity's sake. I mean, that...
No, I'm sorry. There's men in this country, whether they had cleavers or knives, doesn't matter. They would have been taken down.
I tell you what, I'd have got in that car and I'd have run them SOBs over. I'd have given them, and then
I would have grabbed the other men
over.
And said, okay, here we go. We're going after these guys. Somebody's going to get hurt, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
I've seen you drive, and I believe that.
Joe, yeah, good point. They could have thrown bricks, rocks, sticks, anything at these guys, driven them off.
Well, but the point is they felt powerless. They felt helpless. All that felt like they could do is that is a society. That is the society that we're going toward.
Yes, you're right, Chris.
Is a society that where the government tells you, I will take care of you. And then when you're in a situation, all you can do is where they can't.
Cower and fear.
All you can. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Nostradamus.
Hey, remember, Chris, it was our guys on that plane. Our men, American men, that took those guys down.
Flight 93.
Yes,
that's right.
Sir.
That's right. And they were...
Sorry, Britons.
All they were armed with was hot water and a push cart. And that's what they used. So, but it's a whole different mindset.
I understand. You're right.
Yeah. So, Dennis, anything else on either one of those stories?
On that particular topic, no. Although, there was a little item in the TV news this morning about a British citizen, a middle-aged woman, who confronted one of these terrorists.
Yep.
And she just walked up to them plain as day and said, you shouldn't be doing this. Stop this. They asked her, didn't you fear for your life? And she said, no, there were children in the area. Better me than them.
Why didn't she start? Why didn't she at least start hitting them with her pocketbook or something?
No, she did stop. They stopped when she encountered them and started yelling at them. Apparently, that kind of stopped the procedure.
Well, for momentarily. By the way,
and then they gloated.
It didn't take the Brits very long to declare this a terrorist act. They didn't need a big investigation. They didn't need to worry about jumping to conclusions. They called it what it was. It was not a random act of violence or workplace violence or anything like that. They called it what it was, a terrorist act. So a little lesson there for our own president.
And I know we're going on the edge here, but I tell you what, guys, one concealed weapon, and it would have been the whole thing. Don't bring a knife and a cleaver to a gunfight. Even they won't help you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nostradamus, we've been talking a little bit about polls this week since these scandals broke. There is a heightened interest in the scandals, but it hasn't seemed to rub off on President Obama yet. There's some now explanations being floated around out there on both sides of that.
Well, let's stop calling them scandals and let's call them what they are. They're felonies.
Crimes.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We can start there. And by the way, I got a message today that, you know, if the the characters were reversed. If this were, in other words, a Republican administration who was caught using the IRS in this fashion, it would be called, you know, a civil rights violation. It would be called trying to deny somebody their right to vote, their right to participate in a political process. Perhaps we should start doing the same thing. So I like your approach to call it a crime, civil rights violation. That all works for me.
And I think if the roles were reversed and this were a Republican president,
yeah,
they would have canceled the finale of The Apprentice to do a two-hour expose.
Well, thank God they didn't, because I was watching it Sunday night to see Trace Atkins win.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually people who are saying that the president's going to skate on this one. But there's also a report out there, and this is my particular point of view, and that is that this is going to have a corrosive effect on the president. It's going to erode his ability to govern. He may still, in some sense, remain fairly popular, but he's going to have no base with which to govern, and it is going to take its toll over time.
Yeah, and by this time, or by next November, he's not going to have any leverage in the other two houses, in the House or in the Senate.
Oh, absolutely not. And, of course, the Democrats were already skittish after the sequester nonsense about the upcoming election, in particular members of the Senate who stand to lose big. And this is only making them even more worried. So the consequences are going to be, even if it doesn't, you know, take down Obama, and I hope that it doesn't. I mean, he needs to ride this out. And because that will be best for Republicans in the long run. And so, as I've said before on this show, this whole thing is bigger than Obama, like I alluded to with the thing about Britain and their mindset over there. It's this mindset of liberalism and progressivism that President Obama so effectively represents. But it is far bigger than him. So we can't get so caught up in trying to bring the president down that we don't use this opportunity to make that bigger argument, that this proves why big, huge government is ineffective and, in the end, counterproductive to the well-being of the populace. And so,
yeah, our friend Dan Calabrese had a good take on that on CaneTV.com, where he talks about we're just being given all this ammunition. Let's just do it methodically. Let's take what gets thrown at us, let's load it up, let's shoot it back at them.
Yeah, I likened it the other day to getting a model, and I thought after the show, some people out there may not have known what I meant by model. I was talking about like a model airplane or something. Mm-hmm. It's like a present you got at Christmas that you have to assemble. I mean, it's just something you really wanted really bad, like a bicycle or something, but it comes to you in the box, and you have to put it together, and then you have to go out there and ride it. Okay, we've gotten this gift. Now we have to put it together.
And you have to do it right.
And you have to put it together correctly, and then ride it, and you can ride that thing
because
all day long.
Because if you don't put it together right, it'll fall apart on you. But we've seen that happen before.
But if you do, you'll get hours and hours and days and months and years of joy out of it, just like those bicycles you used to get for Christmas.
That's right. Will Carmen sitting in the studio with us. Will Carmen, you going to take contestant number one, number two, or number three, or that dog on the corner there?
I'll take the dog.
Okay. We'll be right back, folks.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, co-host of The American Adversaries. You know, during the day, I'm a contractor here in Central Florida. That's what I do for work. But what I do on the radio, well, The American Adversaries is my mission. We've got a great audience, and I wanted to take a minute to speak directly to those of you who believe in our mission. We are looking for a select group of category-exclusive sponsors to support this show. There are several different levels of sponsorships, so it can be very affordable, and you'll get great results just like our friend Pasquale from Cafe Positano's. Heck, we'll even name our studio after your business if you want. If you own or run a business in Central Florida and believe in the American Adversaries' mission, give me a call to see if you qualify. If you're interested in learning more, my number is 407-435-4613. If I'm on the air when you call, just leave your name and number. I'm Christopher Hart. American Adversaries is my mission. I hope you'll make it part of yours, too.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Happy Thursday again, everyone. The final segment of the American Adversaries, round number four. I'm Larry Adams here with my co-host Christopher Hart in the studio with us. We have Joseph Terp. We also have our good friend Will Carmen. And on the line right now, we have our executive producer, the prognosticator himself. I don't know if you can say that on public radio. Anyway, prognosticator himself, Nostradamus. Nostradamus, use your mental powers to tell me, what is this that the Pope has now come up? He's got a new idea about something there, Dennis. What's that?
You know what? Leave it to the mainstream media to try to explain religion to the masses, okay? The Pope has a mass each day, and in it he makes some remarks, and these remarks are made off the cuff. And the other day he was talking about a scripture from the Gospel of Mark where Jesus' disciples were upset that someone outside their group was doing good. And the Pope explained, they complained, if he is not one of us, he cannot do good. If he is not of our party, he cannot do good. Jesus corrects them and says, do not hinder him. Let him do good. Those who do not have the truth cannot do good. Later on, he mentions that salvation is available to all, even atheists. Well, the Huffington Post goes on and puts out a story that, hey, atheists are going to heaven. The Pope says so. What he said was salvation is available to all. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved.
Then nothing new there.
No, it's really not. It's about 2,000 years old.
I was going to say, that message is only 2,000 years old. Well, the Huffington Post only got it a little bit wrong, I guess, right?
Well, you know, if the Pope wants to come right out and say that a person can deny that God exists and still get to heaven, well, then let's hear him say that and let's talk about it, okay? He clearly did not say that.
You might get in, but you'll be sweeping up in bathrooms if that's the case. All right, Nostradamus, real quickly, you said you had a Tatashev. This is the guy who was shot by the FBI agent yesterday. He pulled a knife on the agent, evidently lunged at him, may have actually cut or stabbed the agent. And he was being investigated, excuse me, not necessarily, he did have an association with the older brother of the two Boston bombers, but he wasn't being investigated as part of the bombing. He was being investigated as part of that triple murder that happened on 9/11/2011, which we now all know was committed by this older brother as well. What's the update?
That's right, and I thank Johnny Guns for doing the legwork on this. He did some digging today to get some information about this.
Yeah.
The roommate of Todashev's, Kusen Tamarov, told reporters that Todashev canceled travel plans to Chechnya so that he could speak with investigators, and he was about to sign a confession implicating both he and Tamerlan Tsarnaev in the 2011 trial.
I'd heard that. Mm-hmm.
In the process of signing the confession, they didn't get his signature on it. He decided he changed his mind. He flipped out. He tried to reach for a knife. Apparently he got the knife because one of the agents was taken to the hospital, and they just shot him.
Yeah. Well, what I don't understand is why he wasn't taken down to headquarters and questioned there and have him sign the confession there.
You know, rather than being questioned at his residence.
Yeah, that doesn't sound quite right to me, but what do I know? Okay, well, we'll continue to watch that story. Certainly hits right close to home here.
It does feed into conspiracies, too, Chris.
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to have a local terrorism expert on our show. When I say local, he's local to the area, but he's also can give you some pointers on how to protect yourself and help us protect one another. Because let's face it, folks, we live in the tourist capital of the world. This would be a great target to hit. Disney, SeaWorld, Universal, all of those places. So we have to be aware that we're part of what's going on in the world today. And whether the president likes it or not, this terrorism war is nowhere near over.
And there are cells everywhere.
That's right, because it's more than just terrorists, and we've talked about that, and we'll talk more. Final thing from you, Nostradamus. You have a factoid you say that our guest Will Carmen will like. He's listening.
Will, you're going to like this one. I hope this is new to you. We are getting a guest on 2 weeks from tomorrow, professional wrestler George the Animal Steele. He has a book out. He's doing a book tour. He's going to be in the Orlando area in the second week of June. Do you remember seeing him wrestle, Will?
I do not.
I do.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Okay. He was a bald guy who had all kinds of hair all over his big, wide back. And he was a wild man. He was literally an animal. He would bite the turnbuckles and chew on the foam. And he would ooze little green ooze would come out of his mouth.
Do you know why green?
Remember that, Chris and Lair?
Do you know why green? I know why green.
Do you know the significance of the green, Will?
Oh, my.
It's a tribute to his alma mater, Michigan State.
Oh, no. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, George the Animal Steel, Will the Animal Carmen, it's all the same.
Oh, no. He would chew Clorets to get the green tongue and all.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I could bleed green, but I just don't, you know, ooze it. Sorry.
When is George going to be on the show?
Yeah, George will be on 2 weeks from tomorrow. It'll be on a Friday in 2 weeks, and he's going to be at the Barnes & Noble on Colonial in Orlando the following day. It'd be Friday the 7th and then Saturday the 8th.
Will that be in studio with us?
Yeah, and we have a couple of books to give away, which will get autographed at his autograph session if we can. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Dennis. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Okay. And, Will, you've got some pretty big news.
Yes, sir.
And you've got a new location.
New location for Boss Detailing.
Where?
It's at the corner of Orange Blossom Trail and Cayley Avenue, and we're starting up a grand reopening this Saturday and Sunday.
Actually, you even actually have sort of a press release here that Lair's going to read for us.
I'm going to read it right now, folks, because this is interesting. I love this. Thank you for getting back in the biz there, Will. Folks, this weekend, Boss Detailing is having a grand reopening at their new permanent location. You're going to like where it is, too, folks. Orange Blossom Trail and Cayley Avenue. Now, this Memorial Day weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 4, drop by for the director's package, and that's a wash, a wax, a vacuum by their expert staff of detailers, and it's only $30. I know you can't stand it, $30. But you can also get the president's package for $60, and that adds a tire shine, headlight restoration, and folks, you can go all the way, with the CEO package. Now, that one includes a full detailing of every surface of the car, inside and out, including a carpet shampoo, armor, all interior protection. And you're going to love it, even a pressure washing of your engine for $120. Boss Detailing's own formula of UV protection and advanced Carnauba wax. It's going to protect your car from the harmful rays of the sun. And are you ready for this? Those nasty love bugs. And yes, they will eat at your paint, folks. Visit the website at bossdetailing.com or call the boss at 863-241-9507, 863-241-9507 for more details. Boss Detailing is now open at OBT and Cayley Avenue. Be sure to check it out, folks.
And that's this weekend, folks, so get on over there for the grand opening
special.
Don't
miss out.
Hey, congratulations, Will.
Well, thank you.
I know you've been looking for a location.
Yes, we have. We're still doing the mobile detailing, but this location is going to put us right out in the public, and I think we are going to be giving a great value for you.
$120 inside and out. I mean, $30 was incredible, but $120 for everything on the car.
Right.
Now, do they call the same number for the mobile detailing?
Yes, sir. It's 863-241-9507.
And, folks, they do a great job. They did my car out here in the parking lot of the radio station. So they'll come to you, or you can go to them. But you get the great deal this weekend if you go to their new location, Orange Blossom Trail and Cayley Avenue.
Correct.
That's right, folks. Don't pick the ugly date. Pick the pretty date. That's Detailing. Will Carmen, just like he told you, we are the American Adversaries. We're the good-looking dates, too. We'll be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Have a great one.
Boss Detailing. Night, everybody.